And God spake all these words. The reading of the law in worship, part 7b. By Reverend Corey Grease. The moral law of God is permanent and therefore useful for the church in the New Testament age. It reveals the holy character of God in its demands. It drives us to the cross of Christ for forgiveness. This law also leads us into obedience, freed as we are by the gospel of Jesus Christ to take up our part in the covenant as friend servants. The law can and ought to be used those ways in the worship service of the church. The worship service is where the covenant of grace is declared and maintained by God, and is one of the chief places where the covenant is experienced. As far as the regulative principle of worship is concerned, the reading of the law falls under the category of the element of reading Scripture. The reading of the law, in particular, is not therefore itself demanded by the regulative principle, but it is part of one of the elements demanded by that principle, the reading of the Word of God. The reading of God's Word is demanded of us in the worship of the New Testament. And there is in the Bible at least one instance of the reading of the law in particular in worship. In addition, there was the reading of the Torah every Sabbath day in the synagogue worship, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. The reading of the Torah included, of course, the reading of both law and gospel. Nonetheless, it is evident of the reading of the law in public corporate worship. Consequently, the reading or reciting or even singing of the law has been a part of Reformed and Presbyterian worship since the time of the Reformation. The question regarding the reading of the law is not so much whether or not it is necessary as part of the dialogue of the covenantal assembly, but rather the question is how it is to be used in that assembly and at what point. There has been disagreement about this. In the liturgies that came out of the Reformation, the order of worship included a separate time for confession of sin and a declaration, which the minister read from the Word of God, that God's people were forgiven of those sins. The reading of the law in these liturgies, therefore, often did not function as a means to make us see our sin, since there was already confession of sin in the service. Rather, the reading of the law functioned in the service as a guide to a life of gratitude to God. In Calvin's church, for example, the law was read right after a time of confession and then absolution from God's word. The law's place in the service was to indicate to God's people that now we must show our gratitude for the forgiveness God declares to us in his gospel, and we show that by living according to his law. Nonetheless, the reading of the law gradually became, in the Reformed tradition, a replacement for that part of the service designed for confession of sin. Instead of having a time of confession of sin and then a reading of a passage of Scripture to declare sins forgiven, the law was read so that the congregation might stand before it, be convicted of their sins, and see their need for Christ. The logic was that, then, the gospel of Christ that freed them from guilt would be presented to the congregation in the sermon following. The sermon, among other things it accomplished, would take the place of a separate time of absolution by declaring the gospel of justification by faith alone. At various times in the history of the Dutch Reformed churches, attempts have been made to reinstate the separate time of confession of sin into the service, and then to have the law read not as a means to convict of sin, but, as Calvin had it, as a rule of gratitude. In the history of the Protestant Reformed churches, Professor Hankel has made the suggestion in the Standard Bearer that we go back and forth, sometimes reading the law before the sermon to expose sin, sometimes reading it after the sermon as a rule of gratitude for what we have been given to Christ. Nonetheless, it remains the practice of the PRC and in most Reformed and Presbyterian churches that still read the law, that the law is read in the service primarily for the purpose of exposing our sin and driving us to Christ. And though these things should be discussed by us, the current practice is still good in my judgment, as long as we understand that one of the purposes of the sermon following the reading of the law is absolution of guilt in the gospel proclaimed. The reading of the law in Nehemiah 8 is used for conviction of sin. After the Israelites returned from Babylon, Ezra was commissioned to read the law in front of the whole congregation of the people. The people had not heard the law read in many, many years, and the result was conviction of sin. Nehemiah 8 verse 9 says that all the people wept when they heard the reading of the law, and Nehemiah had to go around to comfort the people, reminding them that they were God's people, redeemed by the gospel. Is this conviction your and my experience when the law is read? It is read every week, and though it is not going to bring us to tears every time, do we realize what is happening when the law of God is being read? God Himself is speaking. It is not the minister. It is God upon His mountain in all His holiness, speaking to His people. This is an element of worship where, in the covenantal dialogue, God is speaking to us, declaring His sovereignty over us. He is placing upon us His holy law in order that we might be humbled before Him. Do we use the reading of the law this way? Christians need to see their dependence upon Christ day by day, week after week. Part of the worship of God's name is bringing our sins before the Lord and telling Him that we know He alone can forgive in Jesus Christ. Our worship is our dependence upon Him and our seeking His mercy. In Reformed churches that still preach through the Heidelberg Catechism regularly, God's people hear the Ten Commandments expounded every year or two so that they might understand God's laws and their implications for our lives. In the reading of the law, we are to put those sermons to continued spiritual use. We ought to be running the past week through our minds, seeing our sin exposed to us, here before the face of God in His law. Perhaps we come to this assembly thinking that we are pretty good people and really deserve to be here. And the reason why we are here is that we have made ourselves different from other people. We cannot continue to think that when we hear God's voice in the law, we hear, "Thou shalt have no other gods," and we think about how we fell down before the God of money this past week, and in conviction we confess it. And we confess that our sin is not just breaking an external moral code, but a personal offense against a personal, holy God who loves us. We confess that in breaking His law we have really attacked Him. We are not afraid that God will drive us out of His presence. We still hear Him say, "I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of Egypt." For we are once again conscious of our failure to satisfy His holiness on our own, and of our need to repent before Him. And then, in the next Psalter number sung after the reading of the law and in the congregational prayer, we repent and seek forgiveness. That song after the law should have something to do with repentance and God's grace. We express our sorrow for sin in song, having been convicted by the law, and we confess sin exposed by the law in the congregational prayer. And in the sermon following, we hear God exonerate us from guilt in the gospel of His Son. This is the experience of worship that is triggered with the reading of the law. Pay attention to it. It is important. Open your Bible and follow along if it helps. It does no one any good just to sit there when it is read, if no attention is paid to it, and if it is not viewed as God speaking His sovereign rule over my life. Only when the mind and heart are involved as it is it truly a part of the meeting with God in worship. The day and age in which we live is similar to the time of the judges, an age where every man did what was right in his own eyes. In this age every man is a law unto himself. The law of God is rejected. Our society has said that there is no law from above. We can make up our own laws. We can do what we want. And the effects are clearly seen. Homosexuality is no longer a sin in this land. Over 50% of marriages in the U.S. end in divorce. Time magazine recently reported that 40% of Americans believe the institution of marriage itself is obsolete and should be done away with altogether. American churches need the reading of the law in their service and the exposition of that law regularly in the preaching. For the churches of our day and age are influenced by the lawlessness of the society. The divorce rate in most churches in America is the same as it is in society. A vast majority of churches in this country no longer observe the fourth commandment. There is the increasing problem that the message in American Christianity is not about man's sin and the need for forgiveness before a holy God. A law has lost its place, and the result is that the gospel has too. What all this indicates is a deeply rooted problem. The root issue is a lack of reverence for God Himself. A low view of God will always manifest itself in a low view of His law, and reverence for God will always manifest itself in respect for God's law. What the church world needs is the reading and exposition of the law of God. What we need in our church is the reading of God's law every week, and faithful exposition of it repeatedly. Every Sunday, the voice of God from Mount Sinai must echo in the assembly of believers. This is the only way in which the law of the Ten Commandments is imprinted on the hearts and minds of believers in such an impressive way that it becomes part of their consciousness and becomes an inseparable part of their moral awareness. And having heard the law, we run to the arms of Christ.